It's Super Friday. Go all in with us as we get you ready for the big game in Sin City.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
It's a rematch 4 years in the making. Kansas City versus San Francisco.
Anything can happen.
Another Super Bowl for sure.
Broadcasting live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios and streaming live on YouTube. It's ESPN West Palm Super Friday.
New rule coming out.
Presented by Twin Peaks, Celsius, the Miami Open, Bud's Chicken and Seafood, Hard Rock Bet, and Formula One. Here are your hosts, Josh Cohen and Christian Catt.
We are live as we head into hour number five. That's right, hour number five of our continuing Super Friday coverage on ESPN 106.3 as we count down to kickoff this Sunday. We'll have that game with pregame and full game here on ESPN 106.3. We go back to the desert in just a moment to probably, I'll say it again, the greatest NFL story never told. We're about to tell it again on our air. And this young man should be kicking on Sunday in this game, as a matter of fact. You'll hear from him and the whole story in just a sec. First of all, Tina joins us for this hour of our special Super Friday edition on ESPN 106.3. What up, T?
What up? I'm so happy to be here.
Our coverage today is fueled in part by Celsius, and we know you enjoy Celsius as I do. You'd actually drink it almost every morning before the gym.
I do drink it every morning before the gym at 5 a.m.
Essential energy to live fit, made with the good stuff, not the bad. Made with the essential vitamins and minerals that you need regardless. But they've taken over the energy drink market with incredible flavors in fizzy, you know, sparkly, and in flat. Celsius available pretty much everywhere and anywhere. They've taken it over, as we said. Tina enjoys the powder sticks that she can carry with her all the time, have in her purse, have in her bag, have in your back pocket.
Yes, because again, you could have it whenever you want. You can just, all you need to do is add water, and they have so many different flavors, and it's just so easy.
Yeah. Celsius, essential energy. Live fit, essential energy drinks. And with that, let's go out to Las Vegas and welcome in to our special coverage a Port St. Lucie man who holds a record people don't realize, who is the answer to trivia questions, and who is literally a Disney movie on dreams, dues, the NFL, obstacles in life, and how sometimes things don't work out as they were supposed to. But in the end, everybody learns lessons in life that much might be worth even that much more. Our friend Fabrizio Scaccia joins us here on Super Friday. Fabrizio, good afternoon. What's the weather like in Vegas? We haven't asked anybody. It's got to be a little cooler than here, yeah?
Good afternoon, Josh. As a Floridian out here in Las Vegas, I'm freezing. I got my thick sweater on, but it's a blast out here, man. I've been having a good time.
Freezing. It's probably 65 degrees.
Nah, it's in the 40s.
Oh, that's cold.
Come on.
Which is cold for me as a Floridian.
52 degrees. I'm looking right now, 52 degrees and cloudy.
I would be in multiple layers.
He's freezing. He's at 52 degrees. You can tell he's a Floridian. Fabrizio, I've talked about your story several times on the air over the last decade plus. I met you in 2010. We did the magazine feature together. Your story is a Disney movie, and as you and I have talked about, the book rights aside, all that's missing is that one final shot. And that one final shot is the shot we'll get to. That's the final scene in the movie that we need. I want you to tell a little bit of the story about you growing up as a soccer player and being a standout in Port St. Lucie, and you and your brother being a soccer family, and how that kind of led you toward football.
I played soccer since I was 4 years old. I always thought and felt in my heart that I'd be a professional soccer player when I grew up. Mm-hmm. When people were writing, they wanted to be firemen and policemen on the bottom of their paper in first grade, I wrote professional soccer player. So I always thought I would be. When I was 15 years old, I got invited to join an Italian team, the Juventus Club, where actually Cristiano Ronaldo played. At 15 years old, I got invited there.
Wow.
So I was soccer through and through. And then when I got to high school, I was asked to play football, and I picked it up pretty quick and got pretty good at it, man.
You got that leg, obviously, and kicking is such an integral part of the game of American football. That did you fall in love with football, or was it a case of, you know what, I'm good at this, and this might lead to something?
When I first started, I didn't even want to do it. They set the ball up. They told me to hit one. I think it was 45 or 50 yards, as a freshman. and I hit it, and he said, it's your job if you want it. And I said, you know what, after soccer season, I don't mind playing, but, you know, that's all I'll give you. I'm a soccer player, but I'll play. And then as I got to my sophomore and junior year, you know, I started breaking some records, and I actually got offered a full scholarship to the University of South Carolina as a junior in high school. They offered me a full ride, and you know, and I committed there as a junior.
And now you've got other schools that are interested in you and recruiting you and paying attention to you. And they're like, this kid here, the soccer kid with the Italian name, he would be a nice addition. But then your plans for college and your plans for college football, which clearly would have led you to the NFL, because we'll get to it, but you eventually found your way to the NFL. They got sidetracked. There was a life event in your family that sidetracked your path, your goals and dreams. What happened with you and your family?
So my senior year of high school, my mom got into her second car wreck. She got in a really bad one in New York when I was little. She needed the whole neck surgery and rods in her neck and all that. And my senior year, she got in another one. And it kind of jarred it loose again, and she required the medical attention. You know, I had to stay back. My brother was away to college. My father was in New York. He was a working man in New York. So, you know, I said, I'll stay back. I'll stay home. I'll be with her. And then when the time is right, I can eventually, you know, take the scholarship or go to a different college, whoever will accept me at the time. And, you know, I'll get to it eventually was what I was thinking.
So you're a family man. You're a tight family. And you realize, I got to step up here. I got to be the man of the household. Dad's working north. Brother's going to college. I've got to take care of mom. I've got to kind of stay back because some things are more important in life, priority-wise. And for Tina, you know the importance of family.
Yes.
Fabrizio's living this now as a high school kid. And you say, I'll get to those goals. I'm still going to do that. But right now, this is what my family needs me to do. It's what my mom needs me to do. So then you wind up with some local semi-pro football, if memory serves me correct, right?
Yeah, I actually went to a local tryout just to watch. It was the Fort Pierce Fire.
I'm a huge fan. Like, wait a minute, the Fort Pierce Fire?
The Fort Pierce Fire in the Florida Football Alliance. It was a semi-pro league.
Alliance, my favorite league. Fort Pierce Fire, my favorite team. Tina, look at the tattoo on my butt. See that?
Oh my, that looks so good.
Fort Pierce Fire.
From years later.
Fort Pierce Fire. From 2009. All right, Fabrizio, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, so I went to support some of my buddies that were trying out, and the coach said, hey, I hear you can kick it a long way. You know, do you want to play for us? And I figured, you know what? Let me play for them. I'll keep the leg moving. And then eventually when I can go away to college, I'll take that step. I'll continue to be playing. My leg will be ready to go. So it's just a transition right into it. I ended up playing that for 4 years, and I hit a 68-yard field goal in the game, which was still today to be a world record, the farthest field goal in the history of football off the ground. Yep. Without the aid of a kicking tee. And that turned some heads, and Ohio State offers me a full ride. Mm-hmm. So we filed the paperwork for the NCAA to accept the scholarship, and the paperwork comes back denied. Apparently, every year I played semi-pro, it voided a year of college football. And wow. I had no idea of that. So I played 4 years of semi-pro, all 4 years of college, completely voided. Couldn't take the scholarship to Ohio State.
And by the way, playing semi-pro football, you weren't being paid. You had to kick in money to cover expenses and costs, right?
I had to pay them to play. I never took a dollar. Wow. There was sign-up fees. And you know, we played hardship. We sent a letter to NCAA stating, hey, I had to stay back, take care of family. Yep. You know, don't deny this dream. I can go to college, maybe go to the NFL. And they put the big red stamp on it, denied, send it right back. And that was it, man. I just figured, you know, that's it. There's no way to make it now.
So now you guys understand when I said this is the greatest story never told. This is a Disney movie about a young man, good at soccer, this club, 15 years, then his friend, football, high school, good. offer mom accident. Got to take care of the family. Got to take care of mom. Got to stay back and put that. Semi-pro, watching his friends. Heard you can kick it a little bit. Yeah, I can. Boom, you're the guy. Sets the world record for longest field goal, which stands to this day. The longest field goal in football history off the ground doesn't belong to Justin Tucker of the Baltimore Ravens. It belongs to Fabrizio Scaccia, who joins us right now live on this call. So we're at that part of the Disney movie now where you're like, okay, well, there's got to be a happy ending. I mean, how do we figure this out? The NCAA says, nope, you played semi-pro. You paid to play, but it doesn't matter. It killed your eligibility. You can't go to Ohio State. And Lord knows this isn't the NBA where some folks get a chance to play. If you're going to be a kicker in the NFL, you really got to have college experience. And I'm sure you heard that at least for a little while, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw the statistics. An athlete that goes to college has a 1% chance to make it to the NFL.
Right.
So a player that never played college football, it was, I mean, 0.1 or, I mean, I saw it and I was just, okay, obviously there's, you know, there's no door here, you know, there's nothing I could do.
So you can't go to college now. Your eligibility was spent because you played semi-pro, even though you paid to play. And now you love football. Now you have a dream. Now you have a goal. You did then go to play football. Arena League, United League, I believe. Tell us about the journey, how then you've got to pivot and figure out, well, if college isn't my route, I got to figure out a different way to get to a point that then I can get to where I want to go. What was that part?
So when I thought it was done, I thought it was over, I get a random phone call from a businessman in Georgia. His name's Doug Burkew. Just out of the blue, he calls me. He says, I heard about your kick. What's your story? So I tell him my story, and he says, I'm a former kicker. Somebody helped me along the way. I'd love to help you. He said he owns 28 shopping centers, and he's well off. He's like, I'll take you under my wing. You know, let's see what I can do for you. Maybe you can go straight pro. We'll give it a shot. So we fly out to Arizona. We go meet with the number one trainer in the United States. This guy trained Janikowski, Vinatieri. I mean, you name a kicker in the NFL, he trained with this guy.
Wow.
So we go out there, we train with him. I do very well. He's blown away by my talent. But again, what gets brought up? Hey, he didn't play any college football. This is a very tough situation. No matter how good you are, they're always going to say, how are you going to do in front of 70,000 if you've never done it before?
Right.
So I was out there training, 3 months straight of training. We got no calls or nothing. He told me, all right, you know, it's not going to work out. He's bringing me to the airport to come back to Florida to give up again. So this is like a roller coaster. It's like a high, a low. So he's taking me to the airport. And as we're pulling into the terminal, we get a phone call from an arena football team, the Arizona Rattlers. Coach says, I need a kicker for one game. My kicker left for his honeymoon. I need a guy for 1 week.
I need a kicker for one game in the Arena League.
For one game.
My kicker left for his honeymoon, and we heard that you could play. And by the way, it's a 1 week gig, and you're at the airport about to fly home, realizing that this isn't going to work either. So something is better than nothing, right? This is the universe saying, let's find a different route. Let's find a different route on your circuitous path to your dream.
Oh, absolutely. At that point, I would have took anything at a professional level. Arena football was the lowest of the professional levels, but it was a professional football league. So
right.
My trainer says, I got your guy here. We're on our way to the airport. I'll reroute you. We'll go try out right now. We go to the arena. I do well. Long story short, I play the one game. I go 10 for 10. Everything goes well. He says, in the locker room, he says, I want the huddle to be broken up by our newest member. And he yells my name and offers me a contract for the rest of the year right there on the spot.
Wow.
This
dude's on his honeymoon. This
dude and lost his job.
He
told his kicker to stay on his honeymoon and said, you're my guy.
Stay on your honeymoon.
Yeah.
So I got to play that season there. I went 93% on all kicks, which was number one in arena in that year.
And I want to point out, let's pause for a second. NFL upright is what, 18 feet apart?
Yes.
In the Arena League, it's what, 9 feet apart?
It's nine, right.
So understand, he's kicking extra points and field goals. Do you know the uprights when you go to a football game?
Yes.
18 feet apart. Nine.
This is narrower.
Right, nine. So what we're talking about. It's half. Yeah. It's it's a foot less than the rim on an NBA or, you know, basketball rim.
Oh, my goodness.
9 feet is what he's got to kick at. So people got to understand, this is not just power. Now Fabrizio showing accuracy.
Yes.
I can put
that
it.
That was the biggest thing, right, the accuracy.
9 feet is what you got to work with. I watched you. I was doing the home team, and we were in studio. And it was a night you were playing an arena game, I want to say with Jacksonville, right? Well, we'll get to that, I guess. But there's a kick of you on YouTube in an arena league game, and you're actually kicking out of your own end zone. Not punting. Kicking a field goal from out of your own end zone, correct?
Yeah, so the arena football, the field is 58 yards total. So I was on our 1 yard line. It was a 57 yarder. And at that point, the coach tells you, kick it as far as you can. They're going to catch it off the net and return it like it's a kickoff.
Right.
So there's no punting in arena. That's how you punt.
Right.
You kick it off the net and they return it. I said, Coach, I think I could hit this one.
Like, oh my goodness!
Give it a go. All right. So snap, hold, kick. I mean, I laid into it. It went halfway up the net. I mean, probably would have went in from 70. I just crushed it.
You hit it clean. You hit it clean.
Yeah, I hit it pure, clean. And now, like you said, you know, the leg strength was always there. But to hit a 57 in the arena league, I mean, that really showed, all right, you know. And there was, you know, 22,000 in the arena at that time. So that showed, you know, the leg, the accuracy, and that I can do it in front of a crowd and not fold.
So now, Fabrizio, you have the longest field goal in semi-pro football history. You've got to have the longest field goal in arena football history, right?
That was second of all time. Actually, somebody...
What? How?
Yeah, somebody...
From the 1 yard line. What are they, the 0 yard line?
Somebody was 2 yards into their own end zone and made it. And I actually attempted... That was a 62 yarder. I attempted a 63 in arena and I hit the bottom post and it did not go in.
Oh! No. You hit the crossbar and it bounced out, not in.
Yeah, it bounced out. I thought it went in, threw my hands up, and they waved it off, and I'm like, can we review this thing?
Can we take a look at this? Fabrizio Scotcia, Port St. Lucie native, on his incredible journey to the National Football League. As I said, the greatest story never told. His story, which is a Disney movie, Kurt Warner's American underdog, this type story. Maybe he's the Italian underdog. Not all stories have a storybook happy ending, but Fabrizio's got awfully close because you went from arena to then was it the United Football League with Denny Green? What league was that?
Yeah, it was the United Football League. It was actually the league right under the NFL. It was almost like an NFL farm league.
Yep, yep.
Denny Green was the coach. Rest in peace, Denny Green. He gave me my shot. Great man. Dante Culpepper was the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Denzel Washington's son was our running back. So there were some names in this league. And when I signed with that league, I knew, okay, if I do well here, you know, this can really catapult me into the NFL, which was wild because, you know, 6 months prior, I was working at the Boys and Girls Club playing semi-pro football. So it all happened so fast.
In 6 months like that. And then you're a one-game kicker in the Arena League. And then the coach says, break us down, the newest member of the team. Didn't even ask you.
Yeah.
Didn't ask you, hey, what are you doing next week?
Yeah.
Didn't ask if you wanted to be there. Didn't know if you had your honeymoon coming up the next week. Instead, you said, newest member of the team. And you're like, wait, what? And then kicker stay on, that, which is tremendous. So from the UFL and Denny Green and Dante Culpepper, then the NFL becomes actually a possibility. How does that happen?
I did really well in the UFL for my first year. I hit a 54-yarder, a 57, and actually a 59. That's still the UFL record today, 59 yards.
Wow.
And it was the last game of the season. I was warming up in the net, and there was 30,000 people there. And it was weird because I picked out this one guy in the crowd. He had a 49er hat on. He had a clipboard. And he was watching everything I was doing, warming up, my mannerisms, just everything, how I warmed up and high-fived the team. Literally, his eyes were following me. And I knew, I said, okay, this guy's here. He's here to watch me. And then that's the game I actually made the 54-yarder. And then, you know, after the season, I got the big call, man. They said, the 49ers want to try you out. They said, listen, they're probably not going to sign you. They want to try you out.
Yeah.
Maybe for next season, just go out there and give it your best. And I said, hey, listen, that's good enough for me. Just give me the chance.
So your road has been bumpy, circuitous, interrupted, unfair. Let's not forget, couldn't go immediately to college. Mom's car accident, has to take care of mom, stay back, take care of the family. Then semi-pro, I'm playing it. I'm paying to play. I'm setting records. I'm on YouTube with the longest kick off the ground in football history on any level. Then can't do that. The Arena League, one game, the kicker's on his honeymoon. Nope, you're our guy. You stay. Then to the United League, then you get this phone call, and you've got to be thinking, oh, my God, this was like 7 connecting flights and 42 delays over the course of 5 years, and now I'm getting a chance to do this. When you got to the Niners facility, when you got to the San Francisco 49ers facility, and now you're going to get a chance to work out and try out. They already tempered your expectation. They told you maybe not this year, you know, maybe next. But when you arrived, what are you thinking and what are you feeling and what is that like for you considering your journey to get to that point?
Well, I thought exactly that. You know, I thought I was pretty much on an interview. You know, you go, I didn't think they were going to sign me there on the spot. There was, I think, 3 or 4 games left in the season, and they were going to try me out. If they liked me, maybe they'll sign me to training camp for the next season. So I went in there. I went in there loose and grateful, always grateful, and I thanked them for the opportunity. I did my best, and I did very, very well at the tryout, and, you know, thanked them afterwards, and they said, all right, well, practice starts at 4. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? And he goes, well, we're going to sign you. We're going to put you on our practice squad, and we want to see how you practice and perform, you know, with the guys. We're going to hang on to you for the rest of the season.
Wow.
And if we like you, then we'll sign you to a futures contract for some future seasons. And I mean, the waterworks at that point. I started crying. I tried holding it, man, but the emotions got me. And they're like, you know, they asked, are you okay? I said, you guys have no idea, like, the road traveled to get to this point. Just so grateful and blessed, man, to even tell the story to you guys.
It's coming back to you right now a little bit, isn't it?
I'm telling you, man, I'm getting choked up telling you because it was like the road traveled was the ups and downs were unreal, man. It's like emotional. Happy, sad, crying, laughing, just every emotion along the way. And this was it. I put my autograph on a NFL contract. I signed to the practice squad with the San Francisco 49ers. And at 4 o'clock, I came out and practiced with Alex Smith and Ted Ginn Jr. and Frank Gore. And, you know, I'm just like, what is going on?
In 2011, you go to training camp. In the summer of 2011, you're with the Niners in training camp. I'm in the studio doing the show, and I'm watching you on TV. And then when it seemed like this is it, man, we're here in August. We're about to start the season. The San Francisco 49ers, because of timing in the universe, and sometimes things break away that you go, how? David Akers, who was a free agent kicker, had been with the Eagles for years, a proven guy, a veteran guy. He somehow becomes available. And then what happened?
So those practice days I had with the Niners, I did what I had to do. I did well. So the season ends, and they end up signing me to a 2-year contract for 2011-2012.
Yep.
The coach was Mike Singletary.
Yep.
He was my coach who brought me in. He told me, hey, you're my guy next year. I love everything about you. So I signed that 2-year contract thinking, you know, I'm a Niner. I'm going to be a Niner. And, you know, I get home and a month later, breaking news, Mike Singletary let go by the 49ers. So he goes, they bring in Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh brings in David Akers with him, who's a Hall of Famer. And I'll tell you right now, one of the best guys I've ever met. He comes in there and, yeah, we competed. I did very well. And even David Akers told me, I've never competed against somebody, you know, as good as you. stay on track, man. You're great. After he came in, I kind of had no shot going against David Akers, and they ultimately stuck with him. And then I bounced around the league for a little while. And that was it, man.
We're talking about these twists of fate. We're talking about if Akers gets a deal done in Philly, stays. We're talking about if Singletary remains, history's different. Mm-hmm. Because then in his second season in the National Football League, Fabrizio's kicking in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then he's doing it again in 2020 in Miami. And then with talking to us today, he'd say, guys, I got to go. We got walkthrough because I've been in the league all this time and about to do it again like Vinatieri. Because sometimes fairy tales and stories don't have that ending. They just don't work that way. He kicked in preseason games, but he never got that NFL kickoff. You never got that NFL field goal. You never got that NFL point after touchdown because the story hasn't just, it didn't go there, Fabrizio. And I'm sure we talk about it. You think about it. Even with all of your journey and all that you've accomplished and the all odds you've overcame, this movie for Disney needs its final shot.
Yeah. I did some preseason things. Like I always say, man, I'm grateful that I even got to do that. Yeah. Running out of the New Orleans Saints tunnel for the first preseason game, 78,000. I did the opening kickoff. My helmet was literally rattling on my head. It was insane. I got helmets and jerseys. I'm in a couple of video games, and my daughter's 11 now, so she realizes what daddy did. Yep. She's got the helmet and all that. This is all her stuff, man. And I know she's listening. Gabriella, daddy loves you. Oh. Just grateful that I was even able to do it. In the preseason, and that my name was relevant. It's very very blessed, and then just grateful, man.
It's a remarkable story. It is. And I love your story. And I love you. And I love the fact that in hindsight, you look at a kid who was a soccer kid and then the thing and the semi-pro and the thing and then the arena league and the thing and all those things that just kind of worked. And it reminds you in life that it's about the journey. Mm-hmm. It's not about that destination. It's not about that moment that the movie can and will still be made. It just won't be that field goal in the National Football League because that's how real life works. And he's a real life guy who stayed back for his mom and his family. And today he's out in Vegas with former teammates and out there having fun and enjoying all this. And he gets a chance to be on with us and share a story that people listening right now, some are thinking, it is the journey. It's about everything along the way. That's what matters most. Fabrizio, appreciate you. Have a great time. Stay out of trouble. And if you see Jay, I know Jay's a legend in Port St. Lucie, Santiago. And our boy Posty Malone, tell them I said what up. Have a great time this weekend and look forward to getting together back when you come back soon, my man.
Josh, I appreciate you having me on. I'm actually getting with Jay and Posty hopefully tonight. I talked to them. So I'll let them know you said hello, man. And we all got to get together again soon, man. Definitely.
Sounds great. And if you tell Posty, think of any dead celebrity before he answers, just say Robin Williams. That's what I read his mind the last time.
You did.
I remember that. Yeah.
He does too. Because it's creepy. Fabrizio Scotia. Appreciate it, my friend. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, sir. Fabrizio Scotia. Great. It's an amazing story.
I am so happy that I was on while he was on because before the show started, I was like, Fabrizio, the kicker, Port St. Lucie. You've talked about him so many times, but I never got to hear the full journey and story of him. And it gave me chills.
It is a remarkable. It's a movie.
It was like never give up. Like just don't give up.
Correct.
And I'm so happy for the journey he had. And it's real life. There isn't always a happy ending.
That's right. Sometimes there's a happy ending. It's just not the ending you were expecting.
Yes.
Or the one that you were hoping for.
Yes.
When we return, our guests continue. This one's in studio with us.
Oh.
A former Suncoast legend, who by the way was taken in the third round of the 2008 draft by the Kansas City Chiefs. And then played also in the NFL as well. And with the Colts for a little bit. And then his book, Dear Athlete, is out now, C-Cat says. He was a guest of mine in the Cocktail Hour. We did a magazine shoot together. He's an entrepreneur and like an inventor as well.
Oh.
And he's DeJuan Morgan, who joins us next. We come back. It is Super Friday, the special, here on ESPN 106.3.
Super Friday on ESPN West Palm. Presented by Twin Peaks, Celsius, the Miami Open, Bud's Chicken and Seafood, Hard Rock Bet, and Formula One. Here are your hosts, Josh Cohen and Christian Catt.
It is our Super Friday broadcast at ESPN 106.3 as we are live worldwide on the ESPN app, on all streaming devices simply by telling it to play ESPN West Palm, and also on our brand new ESPN West Palm Play YouTube channel. 6 hours live in studio from Super Bowl Radio Rosemary Square with our coverage as it continues. Special guest in studio with us 1 second away. First, I want to remind, first of all, Usher singing about want to make love in this club, in this club, in this club. Want to make love in this club.
Hey.
Oh, you know?
Yeah.
I've been listening to Usher all week to prep myself for Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be huge on Sunday. Tickets available now for the 2024 Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix, May 3rd through the 5th. 3-day event filled with art, music, world-class cuisine, and of course, 3 days of world-class racing, including the season's first sprint race in the Americas. You don't want to miss it. Choose from a variety of grandstand options, each with a fantastic track view, putting you right in the action. Also included is access to the full campus, and there's a lot going on. Join us for the 2024 Formula One Crypto.com Miami Grand Prix, May 3rd through the 5th. Tickets available now. F1MiamiGP.com. That's the letter F, numeral 1, MiamiGP.com. I see Bud's Chicken and Seafood on a fried day rolling through, setting up shop in our kitchen area. It's been a long afternoon.
I'll race you to the chicken tenders.
Our next guest is in studio with us, a Suncoast legend, third round pick in the 2008 draft out of NC State by these Kansas City Chiefs. He is DeJuan Morgan. Nice to see you again, my friend.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure. Thanks. I'm just honored to be here. So.
Listen to that voice.
I know.
Listen to those tones, dulcet tones, the quiet storm. This summer in theaters. I'm the radio guy. How do I get pipes like yours, man?
I don't know, man. I think it's genetics, man.
It is.
Wow.
God bless you. You played for Herm Edwards for a year, right?
Yeah.
Who told us that, don't hit send. Herm Edwards. You play to win the game, famously enough. The Kansas City Chiefs have become this franchise that, Arrowhead was always one of the loudest stadiums. And there was always a tradition in KC with Lamar Hunt and the AFC and the AFL-NFL merger. And Mr. Hunt dubbed the game the Super Bowl. He gave it that name. So when you go from here to then NC State and you wind up in KC, the temperature's a little different. The way of life is a little different. Barbecue's a little better. But it's kind of a different world there. But Kansas City Chiefs fans, even when the team wasn't at the peak they are now, that's always been a great football town.
It's been amazing. I don't say it just because I've been there, you know.
Yep.
I have other places to compare it to, but being in Kansas City for the short time that I was there, the environment, mm-hmm. totally different, even in the stadium.
Yep.
You know, I've seen a lot and been in a lot of stadiums and played in a lot of stadiums, but that Arrowhead is special.
Yeah.
You know, and the fans, you know, they are there even out in the public. You know, in the restaurants, and they're just so welcoming. I mean, I went to get my oil change one day, and I'm just talking to the guy who probably is the manager in there, and we just having a small conversation about, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And I could pay for my oil change, but he's like, no, don't worry about it. And then every time I came, I would get it free, and then he started giving me a rental car. He's like, man, whenever you need a rental car, you need some family come in town, I'm take care of you. And
football
so
crazy.
They just, yeah, yeah, you know, you get the treatment there. It's awesome.
Football crazy. The infrastructure was there. They played in the first Super Bowls back in the mid-late 60s. What we're seeing now, listen, you played the game, and you played with that organization. Some people argue, well, you got to have a third to be a dynasty. And I'm going to say, well, hold on. If you go to 4 Super Bowls,
mm-hmm.
If in 5 years, if you go to 6 consecutive AFC championship games that lead to, in the first 6 years that your quarterback is playing, sat for a year behind Alex Smith, to me, you don't need to win on Sunday to beat a dynasty. DeJuan Morgan, you say what?
I'm in agreement.
Yeah.
I don't think we can look back and figure out who did that.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's an organization that you got this young quarterback come right. in and just change the game, and to that's all he know.
Right.
I can't go no less than the AFC Championship. You know, so for them to be able to do that and the way that they're doing it in the time that we're doing it now, we're seeing it. I mean, you know, people start comparing them to, you know, the New England right. era. So I think that they deserve it.
The Patriots went to 3-5 years in the beginning, 2002. They missed 2003. They were there 2004 and 2005. And then again, at the end of the Brady Belichick era, they went to 3-5 year span there again. So it, you know, and that's impressive because it's, you know, a decade apart.
Right.
But 6 consecutive AFC championship games, 4 Super Bowl appearances. This is Patrick Mahomes' first ever road playoff games in that entire era. Every one of the playoff games was at home. They hosted the Patriots when Dee Ford lined up in the neutral zone and the Brady interception got called back and instead the Patriots advanced. When the Bengals got to go in 2021, that was a case of the game was still played in Arrowhead. So this year, I'm arguing, is the most impressive run yet based on you're an underdog in Buffalo and in Baltimore. You had to play that freezing cold game that's a great equalizer. I mean, that type of 25 below zero, the better team doesn't. I mean, it's an equalizer, right, for right. talent and everything else. Would you agree that this is the most impressive of their journeys for all that they've had to face, including all those drops?
Without a doubt. You know, I always look at it like this. When you have a guy that can be consistent and can change a game and then play with guys who everybody don't know.
Right.
And still be able to compete at a high level and win games. Like, we don't have the big names at wide receiver for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And now you got Mahomes is being the chief orchestrator of the offense and managing the game and being able to win at this level. And then the way that they did it, all the odds against them. You know, you already at a disadvantage when you're going away.
Yep.
You know, you don't have your home crowd. You don't have that extra push there. It's fighting in there. And then the weather, I mean, we can argue to say that, you know, it's cold in Kansas City too, but nobody plays in this kind of weather.
No.
So you got to be ready to play.
Yeah.
And for them to come out with a W, man, and then we're talking about playing against the MVP of the league, you know, where everybody's thinking that this is Lamar's time. And we come out with a win. So to be able to do it the way he's doing it, Mahomes, is hats off to me.
DeJuan Morgan joins us live in studio. He got a book out, Dear Athlete. Says here, not just for athletes, it's a guide to tackle challenges, succeed in both sports and life. Dear Athlete is more than a book, a companion, to make wise choices on and off the field, which is obviously a cheat code for success in life, right?
Yes,
Mahomes seems to be the guy who makes really good decisions on and off the field and during the game and in the locker room and with media. We saw one moment this year where he lost his composure. We saw one moment this year where he had lost his temper on the officials when it was the lateral that was called back, the touchdown, right? And that's frustration from the Marquez Valdez-Scantling drop the week before. And that's frustration from a lot of the drops and a lot of that. But, you know, Mahomes Sr. got busted last weekend for a third DUI arrest. And you say, we're all human. We all make mistakes. We all have bad decisions. But Mahomes, it seems, is just like in every aspect. He says the right thing. He does the right thing. He gets it. He's, in my opinion, the most complete and special quarterback I've ever seen. Processing in real time, decision making, and the ability to ad lib and how he plays the game like he never saw how quarterbacks are supposed to play the game. With little shovels. You see the game differently as a former NFL player. When you see him play, you think what?
Amazing.
It is. He's magic.
Because I played quarterback in high school and I've done some things, but the way I see him move and throw the ball and get it in tight windows and just finesse is special. You know, so to see that on this level, you know, it's one thing to do it in high school and another thing to do it in college, but to do it in the pros. You got to tip your hat off to a guy like that can do that. So I think it's remarkable, and for him to be able to maneuver through life and make sound decisions. Yeah. It has a lot to do with your upbringing.
He manipulates space. He manipulates time. He slows the game down like it's the Matrix. He right. processes like that, but he's not the fastest guy, and he doesn't look smooth when he's running, but he'll split defenders and force them, and then he manipulates space against them and then winds up beyond where he needed to be or where he any other quarterback has taken that. It's a 7-yard gain, but instead, he's kind of leading you this way and then holds the ball out like he's going to throw a forward pass. He's already 12 past the line of scrimmage. They fall for it, and then he goes another 8 yards. It's as if he's almost toying with. It's a different level of comfort and confidence.
Right, it is. When you hold the chips in your hand and you know what moves you're going to make, it's like, you know, playing chess
yeah.
when guys are playing checkers.
Yeah.
You're already thinking steps ahead,
yeah.
and you know guys will they already respect him. They expect greatness out of him. And so sometimes I believe guys are in their own head when they're playing against a guy like that. It's like lining up against the cheetah. You know he's fast. You know he's right. elusive. If you let that get in your head, it brings you outside of your game. And now you're playing to him instead of you making him play your game. And that's what he does a great job at, making you follow and do those type of things in his game.
In the UFC, sometimes we talk about fights being won before you enter the cage
right.
because of an intimidation factor. Because of not that this guy's going to hurt me, but there's a little bit of awe. Mahomes is going to get the best out of everybody because he's Mahomes, but this year things didn't go well, didn't go right. They weren't great, and here they are in a Super Bowl again to defend from last year. See, Kat, with yeah. a question for DeJuan Morgan. Go ahead. Yeah,
DeJuan, we're talking about the greatest that might ever do it, right? Pat Mahomes, you played with someone else who was the greatest to ever do it in terms of a return man with Devin Hester at Suncoast. What was going through your mind?
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Devin Hester, as of last night.
What went through your mind as a former teammate of his, watching Devin Hester return the opening kickoff to a Super Bowl for a touchdown?
It gave me a flashback when we were at NC State. He was at Miami. And
did he do it to you there?
Yeah. I talked to him on the phone. He was like, y'all going to kick me the ball? I'm like, man, we ain't kicking you the ball. We're not going to kick you the ball. Because we practiced all week long. Coach was like, kick it out of bounds. Kick it deep. Like, don't kick him the ball. And so that was
keep it away from 23.
Keep it away, you know. four at a time. But that was the game plan. So we get in the game, and I saw our head coach whisper to the kicker, kick it to him. And it was like they were the only two that knew the ball was going to Devin.
Well, so, you did too because you heard it.
And I saw it.
Yeah.
And I knew right then that this was going to be bad because the guys are running down what we practiced all week long. We're not kicking on the ball.
And you're watching from sideline.
I'm watching it from sideline.
Okay. All right.
And it goes up. The crowd is hype. ESPN game. It goes to him, and everybody's like, oh, my God.
For like 90.
And he just make one cut, and then he looks to the sideline. He told me he was looking for me.
I was looking for you the whole way.
Yeah, and the whole – it just zapped the noise right out the stadium, man. So to see him do that on every level and to see it up close and personal, I have amazing stories of Hester. And I'll just tell you one real quick. We were playing against Pahokee in Pahokee.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets the ball in the backfield on the sweep. And I don't know how he got out of this. It was like six guys right there to meet him. I mean, he just.
The Matrix.
Yeah, I mean, everything slowed down. He just shook everybody, spent a couple of guys, dipped through, hit the sideline, and then he just turns on the Jets up the sideline. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm glad he's on my team.
Yeah. I'm glad he's on my team. And now he's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of people thought, well, you know. Because when you get specialty, there's not a lot of punters. You know, there's not a lot of kickers. There's not a lot of kick return. Specialty. Dante Hall, the X Factor back in the day. Another Chief.
Yeah.
It's great to see that the local kid who excelled in that, who's again, game changer. If you have to game plan for someone, you have to spend time in practice.
Right.
For a player, that means that what they're doing is worthy of consideration, if you ask me.
No, most definitely. You have to consider him. You got to know where he's at all yeah. times. And you got to consider the game, like what's going on in the game, what time it is in the game, because
yep.
in crucial moments, you shouldn't kick in the ball.
You ever, not necessarily intimidated, but awestruck, a little starstruck on the football field in an NFL game across from you, next to you, you saw that player and you thought, oh, be cool, be cool. Who was it?
For me, it was Brett Favre.
Brett Favre will do that mm-hmm. to you. Yeah.
It was Brett, man. And you know what's crazy? This little 10-year-old kid I talked to last night, his mom had bought the book and I was like, asked him how her son was doing. And, you know, I just said, let me surprise him. Let me, you know, call him. And
yep.
he got a chance to talk to him, and he said, I said, if you had one question to ask me, what would it be? And he was just standing, staring. And like, I understood what was going on in his mind. Like, I got a chance to ask him a question. I don't have one. So his mom said, well, ask him who was the greatest celebrity he ever played against, da da da. And so I was like, you know what? I'm not a guy that's big on stardom and starstruck. Right. You know, I never was that guy. But when I played against the Jets and saw Brett Favre on the sideline and I got a chance to go up to him and say hey to him, it was like, wow, this is Brett Favre. I used to watch him as a kid. So that was my time. That was my moment.
Everybody's got one as a kid.
Right.
And very few of us get a chance then in person to be like, hey, man. Tell us about the book, please. Dear Athlete, as we said, a companion to make wise choices on and off the field. Where did this idea come from? What's it mean to you?
Oh, man, it means everything. It came from God. I'd be remiss if I won't say that, because, you know, I was sitting down one day and I got this righteous indignation to address athletes with what was going on around me, seeing kids and want to put their phone up and get on TikTok and social media and make videos, and they're athletes. And I'm like, 10,000 views don't get you a scholarship. You can't negate the hard work, the effort, the time you got to put in, the focus, the discipline. It's not about making videos and doing this dancing, all this stuff. And so I put my phone up and made a video and said, dear athlete, let me help you. And I started addressing the issues. Mm-hmm. And then when I went back to replay it before I put it on the social media, dear athlete stood out to me. And so I started making all my videos. Dear athlete, let me help you. And then I had a dream of writing a book. And I told my wife, I said, hey, I got this dream of writing a book. She said, do it. And I spent the whole summer in just writing. And she's like, you already got the content. You've already got these videos. I said, yeah. And then it came to me like, okay, 100 Keys to Success. And I started putting it together. And then, you know, I started thinking about my experience coming up. And I started from, you know, high school saying, these are the things that I went through that nobody helped me with. If I had just somebody tell me, hey, take all five visits, don't commit on your first visit, you know, I probably wouldn't have committed to Ohio State when I first went up there. Mm-hmm. And so making these sound decisions and being able to choose how to ask a coach, what questions to ask a coach when you're interviewing him, you know, because they like to ask you questions, but you need to know things from them.
It's a two-way.
Yeah. You know, and we just receive it as players because we're so happy and enamored to get a scholarship and to go somewhere, but we're not checking their fruits. We're not even looking into, okay, what players came out of here at my position? Are they producing guys in the NFL? How far do I want to go? What does the academic look like? What is school? How's the tutoring? How, you know, how I'm going to succeed when I get there? Like, these are things I put in this book. And then what do I do when I get there? You don't have mom and dad there.
Right.
What kind of discipline you need to have to be able to stay focused in college to make it? I've seen guys my freshman year, we coming in all together, but all of us didn't make it out my freshman year.
Sure.
So, you know, I wanted to help these athletes.
It's a cheat code to life. It's a cheat code to winning in life.
Love this.
It is, man.
That's needed. Where do we get the book? Where can people get it?
You can get it on Amazon.com.
Yep.
And then my website, DeJuanMorgan.com. And that's when it comes to me, and I'll be able to sign it, personalize it to whomever you want to make it out to. So,
DeJuanMorgan.com.
Yes.
And at Amazon. Dear Athlete, it was great to catch up with you again. Thanks for sharing the stories, man. Great continued success to you.
Appreciate it, John.
Very proud of you. Very happy for you.
Thanks, buddy.
DeJuan Morgan. DeJuanMorgan.com. Dear Athlete, if you got young people in your life, this might be a good example of, this is like for your video games, how to get to that level, how to get to that final boss. It's how you do it in life, right? There you have it. Thanks again. When we come back, we get into what is known as the cocktail hour on the home team. This, of course, is a Super Friday edition. Michael Lombardi with 3 Super Bowl rings, with a book of his own as well, and who you see every week on the Pat McAfee Show. He will join us coming up next. Super Friday on ESPN 106.3.